In this pre-election 2025 mini-series, I'm going to go through a few of the points that have shaped some of my thoughts about the nation I am now a citizen of. I have spoken with many people, countless colleagues, students and friends, as well as strangers, about society and politics in Germany. There are, I suspect, many voters who will even vote for the AfD, with whom I share concerns. I wish to speak about one of those topics in each mini-episode. I ask you to be patient with me, to reflect genuinely on each argument, and to let me know your thoughts. Democracy in Germany will not come to an end, even if a more far-right government is elected. But many people will suffer unnecessarily for the policies that I believe will be enacted, and for no good reason. We will move increasingly towards a society where finger-pointing based on race will increase. I believe there will also be an increase in domestic violence against women, and that gender inequality in the workplace will also go up. Immigration laws will be tightened to an extent that significant damage will be done to the German labour market in the hospitality, healthcare, and construction sectors, among others. People currently living and working in Germany will be forcibly removed, dividing families and creating untold strain on law-abiding and hard-working people just to make a political point that in the end will benefit nobody. I believe social benefits will be cut, further complicating the lives of many people who live around or below the poverty line, including many AfD voters. I believe technology will be used to curtail our privacy and to negate our human rights. I also believe many positive steps taken to reduce CO2 emissions and to transition towards renewable energy will be reversed, with catastrophic consequences for future generations. These are the issues into which I will delve deeper. The AfD, some of its leaders and members, though not all, are racist, white supremacists, and do not care about Germany. My words are aimed at those who remain undecided. German politics is suffering from the same problems we see in the UK, the USA, and many other countries around the world. Our politicians, in many cases, have sold out their principles. There are not enough differences between the parties for people to feel represented. Almost all parties have renounced socio-economic policies based on ideals and have embraced the same neoliberal principles across the board, so that whichever party wins, the result is the same. The AfD talks like it is different, like it is anti-establishment. The AfD is even more establishment than the parties we have become disheartened with. The AfD is like the Reform Company in the UK. They are organizations run by rich people who wish to further enrich elitists. The divide between rich and poor is only going to grow further. Tuna Mike clocking out. Rise up.
Jepek kuduelo mabiro etu under mic. Dung parodit kod joke mawoye tu under mic. Seche tim sudbuta wawinji etu under mic. Wola wachokre wabed ping biwawinje erochako dumomet ndi
tu and a mic.
Podcast makende.
This podcast is about the AfD's policies regarding education in Germany. I'm therefore going to look at the main points of their policies and give my analysis and opinions of them. I have also done some research on these points and have included some articles as reference points for specific criticisms and observations. So let's go into point number one. The creation of a differentiated school system. The AfD supports a school system that differentiates based on students' abilities. They advocate for maintaining special schools for students with special educational needs. there are definitely strong arguments to provide children the kind of education that best fits their abilities and interests. It's also important to identify the methods of education that best suit children to help them learn most effectively. If the plan is to adapt the system to identify characteristic differences and to provide structures that reflect the student's abilities, then points such as neurodiversity, background, language, disability, and other factors have to also be considered. In essence, supporting schools along their current trajectory. The biggest problem with education in Germany at the moment is teacher shortages. There's a critical shortage of teachers, which estimates suggesting that between 32,000 and 40,000 teaching positions are unfilled. This shortage is exacerbated by high sick rates and teachers leaving the profession due to exhaustion and poor working conditions. Now, this point is not referenced at all in what I have seen of the AfD's policies. And this is actually one of the main points with the provision of education in Germany. So it's interesting that they have neglected to reference that, or indeed tried to come up with any proposals that may fix that situation. The second point then that the AfD have, performance and elites. They emphasize a strong focus on performance and they wish to promote elites and elitism within the school system. Now, there's no clear evidence to suggest that private schools are the answer with regards to improving the education of top performers. One expert said, all PISA studies have shown that the longer you keep the kids together, it has little effect on the top performers, but it all lifts the lower performers, said a specialist, an expert called Stefan Köpper, who's from the University College of Dublin. Another source, Marcel Helbig from Germany's Leibniz Institute for Educational Trajectory, said the performances at gymnasium, this is perhaps comparable with comprehensives or university preparation secondary schools, where there are hardly any migrant kids, has also fallen very sharply. It is more than just a migrant-specific problem that we're dealing with here. Now, this point is important because, as you probably have heard, the AfD, much like Reform in the UK, are mainly concerned with immigration. So this points out that the problem goes, it's got nothing to do with immigration. The problem goes deeper. The problem is a fundamental issue that needs to be addressed within the educational system. What it does achieve, however, the policy which the AfD has presented, the creation of further elitism within the system, what it does achieve, however, is the creation of further division within society between those families who have more and can afford to distance their children from kids, from those families who have less, and in the process ensuring their kids develop friendships and relationships mainly with more similarly affluent family children. In the same way, people who can afford to live in more expensive areas will also mainly develop relationships with other similarly financially capable neighbours and their kids. This seemingly innocent cycle of rewarding wealth with opportunity leads to the creation of even more distinct class structures within society. In the long term, it is a toxic policy that will only create bigger problems in the future. The less opportunity kids have of meeting diversity while children creates an issue later on in life. This is something that we can see from our societies. This is something that we can see from those areas where there is a certain lack of diversity. If you look at, for example, some of the towns and villages where policies of political parties with a prejudicial approach or with prejudicial policies or with prejudices, these are areas where there is less diversity. And so therefore, by including or by having a more diverse society, essentially you have less prejudice because people come to get to know one another. There's less ignorance of others. The third point for the AfD's educational policy is traditional curriculum. The AfD calls for a return to traditional educational curricula, criticizing what they see as ideological influences in schools. Now, this is a very vague policy. Modern teaching exists for a reason. The concept that things were better in the 80s or the 90s has not been proven. And in any case, modern issues cannot be addressed through dated teaching practices. There are obviously circumstances and situations in which you could say a lesser dependency on technology can actually help children to develop their skills, can help them to develop their coordination, eye-to-hand coordination, for example. If kids don't write anymore or draw anymore by hand, then perhaps they lose the ability to control, as it were, their movements and so on. I think that's a reasonable factor to consider. But that's not what is being addressed here, because they highlight ideological influences. When I hear politicians talk about education and ideological influences, it kind of reminds me of the situation in some states in the USA, where they don't really want to teach the actual history of the USA. They want to revise the history. They don't want to talk about colonialism. They don't want to talk about how the USA was founded. They don't want to talk about how the First Nations people were treated. They don't want to talk about slavery. They don't want to talk about all of the years after the Civil War. They don't want to talk about the Reformation. They don't want to talk about Jim Crow. They don't want to talk about mass incarceration. So they want to completely revise the way history and socioeconomic policy is perhaps looked at, and that specifically is an ideological influence on education. Perhaps they want to do the same thing in Germany. It wouldn't be a surprise. But if they want to stop teaching the Holocaust, for example, if they want to stop talking about colonialism, then clearly this revisionist propaganda is not going to benefit society. The fourth point is vocational education, where they aim to strengthen vocational education and the dual education system, which combines apprenticeships in companies with vocational education in schools. I can't argue with this point. I find it makes sense depending on how it is implemented. If this policy is pursued through the ideological and discriminatory premises the other policies exhibit, though, it's going to lead to failure. If the best opportunities for these programs are given to only people from, or students from, affluent families, are only given to people who know the leaders of industry and so on, then clearly this is also a prejudicial tactic. So we really have to see the general context into which they believe these policies are going to develop. But if at the moment, for example, you are an AfD supporter and you live in the former East Germany, you live in Saxony, in a town where there isn't much industry, or you don't have access to the kinds of companies that are going to give you the experience that you need. If you vote for the AfD, you're not suddenly going to be propelled forward and work for Porsche or VW. So if you're voting for the AfD for that, then I would imagine that's something that you can perhaps forget. The fifth point they have is opposition to certain subjects. The AfD opposes the inclusion of Islamic education and certain aspects of secular education in nurseries and primary schools. Religion is a subject. If schools only teach Christianity, then the name of the subject is not religion, it's Christianity. Highlighting one religion to not learn about is discriminatory. The biggest problems the West have with the Middle East is based on ignorance and a lack of awareness of Islamic culture. By excluding the teaching of other religions in school, future generations will be even more ignorant of non-Eurocentric beliefs. In a globalized world the neoliberals themselves promote, how does this policy make any sense? It doesn't, quite clearly. The second point is once again being unnecessarily politicized. Children are educated using modern materials, games and cards about different topics to help them prepare for the emotions and changes that they will soon experience. The exact tone and detail of these sessions and whether they are taught separately or as part of other subjects, for example biology, is completely up to the individual federal states. So the way that the AFD presents this topic in itself is highly politicized. It's suggestive of some kind of educational program that is being conducted in secret, but that's not true at all because parents are notified in advance that these courses are going to take place. And the parents can't then take their children out of those classes. However, they are aware. And there can, I believe, ensue some level of conversation and interaction. The last point, the last main policy point that the AFD has is autonomy of schools. They advocate for greater autonomy for schools and universities, emphasizing the importance of academic freedom. It's interesting that the AFD wishes to emphasize academic freedom after they have forced their prejudicial policies onto them. Maybe the AFD believes that academic freedom is best served by the banning of books. Yes, I know exactly what I'm getting at, and the policies of reverting to dated teaching techniques and excluding Islam and sexual education from schools is tantamount to the burning of books. You cannot claim, on the one hand, that you wish to promote the autonomy of schools, while on the other hand, your policy is to make sure that you oppose the inclusion of those types of education that you are not in agreement with. Either schools and universities are independent or they are not. So, what are the main issues then currently regarding education in Germany, which are perhaps not covered by the AFD's policies? They don't appear to include digitalization, nor indeed do they highlight the need for investment. In Germany, there are a number of schools, according to some reports, that have stated that are literally in poor physical condition. There isn't enough money for building repairs. Some schools have very poor quality wireless internet or internet in general. And it's very slow. Infrastructure is lacking. Despite the fact that, in my opinion, using paper and pens and pencils is still a very effective way of teaching, many subjects would still benefit from having different kinds of media as teaching aids. But some schools simply don't have that as an option. Another point is that many people in general are very dissatisfied with the quality of education. This could be a typical generational delusion where every generation believes the new generation is lazy or less intelligent than some other and or given other pejorative values. There is no proof that the kids of the 1980s were any more motivated than the kids of the 1990s. And the same is true as you move forward a decade or generation at a time. But it doesn't mean that there are no concerns. Education has been a political football for years. It's an area where companies can make a lot of money, and the benefit of much of that expenditure is not always commensurate. In some countries, money is being spent to outsource examination technology, and that is perhaps one of the biggest threats to education. As the number of teachers declines, educational technologies become increasingly attractive. But are we looking for the wrong solutions? The best teachers are those who can establish empathetic connections with their students by limiting or reducing the human educational experience to a bare minimum because society doesn't make teaching attractive enough as a career is a significant and deliberate failure of social governance. It's only through encouraging teaching and creating the atmosphere of safety and protection for teachers and, of course, children, that students can grow into their full potential. Teachers need to be free to exercise their own experience and knowledge as much as possible and not always be forced to follow the rigid tracks given to them. Core subjects like languages, sciences, and mathematics are not in dispute, and the science or grammar and literature bases are very strong, though even in these areas, teachers need help. They do not need to be pushed to the side by AI. Other subject areas will allow arts and humanities to blossom, and these subject areas are where young people can experiment with philosophy, culture, art, responsibility, understanding, and human lived experiences. These are subject areas that cannot be taken for granted and for some reason have become battlegrounds. Even the classical philosophers everyone refers to with deference needed to be able to mix things up to make sense of what they thought and felt. Da Vinci was not just a scientist and genius because he designed the first helicopter, drew the Vitruvian Man, and knew some serious mathematics. He was an artist of the highest degree because of his observational skills as much as his analytical skills. The power of observation is dependent on an open mind. How else can we identify what we don't know? A further problem in Germany is the federal system itself. Extensive inequality exists not only within local and regional educational authorities, but also between federal states. Whereas Bavaria in general is recognized as the standard bearer of education in general in Germany, despite only making minimal progress, other states have regressed. An article in the Deutsche Welle, which I'll also put in the podcast notes, states, "The real problem," Köpper said, "is not private schools, but the structure of the school system itself. Under Germany's so-called track system, in some states, the decision is made as early as in year 4, when pupils are aged around 10, about whether they can attend a gymnasium, an academic high school equivalent to a grammar school in the UK, or a lycée in France. Germany's gymnasiums are the standard path to a university education. Germany is still a long way off. The type of inequality of outcomes seen between private and public schools in the US and the UK, Köpper said, there's a slight upward trajectory. So over time, private schools might cause more inequalities in outcomes. So far, the major problem in Germany remains the track system, said Köpper. I will leave the value judgment, therefore, to the professional educational analysts and will confine myself to my own social and political observations. Across the board, most of the parties in Germany are not doing enough to support the educational system. However, the fact that education remains largely free, even for university degrees, suggests there is an inherent focus on equality that is still present. With the introduction of most of the AfD policies I've seen, vast iniquitous tracts would be created, which in the coming years will turn into social chasms, leading to soft forms of apartheid. They will then quickly descend into the harder forms of apartheid. That is not a future a country that claims to value democratic principles should be considering. The AfD's educational policies are dangerous and divisive, and in my opinion, must be avoided at all costs.
Two and a mic.